don't have to take any more calls for a while. I was teaching last night on Balaam. The king of Moab, Balak, in the 22nd chapter of Numbers, was terrified by the Israelites. And he sought out Balaam, who had a reputation that whom he blessed was blessed, and whom he curses is cursed. And the king of Moab sent elders from Midian with rewards of divination in their hand. They came unto Balaam and spake unto him what Balak wanted him to do, which was curse the Israelites. 8th verse, Balaam said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And the context in that verse suggests that God talked rather frequently with Balaam. And as I said last night, he didn't even belong to the First Assembly of Israel. And the presbyters there hadn't ordained him. What's God doing talking to people without their approval? He's a near heathen. Looks like he did it all the time. And God said unto Balaam, God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam informs the Lord. Yeah. These guys are from Moab. King of Moab sent them to me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt with covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Now that God got straightened out with Balaam to where he knew what was going on, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they're blessed. Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. The princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, this old guy wouldn't go. He refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Since the first team back, second team didn't work. They came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor. By golly, they come out of a zipper. You better pay attention to them. Thus saith Balak. Come on, telephone. Well, we got hung up on that zipper. They came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Keep moving on, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. For a heathen living on the border and not part of Israel, Balak's pretty obedient. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye here also, or tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now, so far, he got an A+. But he's like a lot of you. He thinks, maybe I can go back and talk to the Lord again, and he'll change his mind. And God said unto Balaam at night, came unto him at night, and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Now, that's why it's dangerous to start arguing with God. Start trying to get him to double think. The orders were clear. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. 21st verse. And the men came to call him, and he rose up. Is that what it said? He ain't gonna wait, man. He's just like a lot of you. I mean, if you can keep pecking at God, keep double thinking, keep trying to talk him out of it, you'll find a way to take a part of what he says and leave out the most important part. Did God say, rise up and go with him? Sure he did. But he said something else. If the men come to call thee. There's a lot of you people practicing a self-modified religion that leaves the ifs from God out. Balaam rose up in the morning, man. He was the first one out of bed. If he got this far with God, maybe if he could get down the road a ways, he could really change God's mind. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass. I figure that's probably the smartest thing you can do in the morning when you get up, saddle your ass. And went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. A lot of people can't figure that out. Because they read like they listen to most things that God says. They skip over the fine print and think that God told him to go, and now God's mad because he's going. God told him, if they come and call thee, rise up. Man, he got up and saddled his ass and was out there before anybody else out of bed. He skipped his breakfast. He was eager to go. I've watched the saints for years. They find an opening to take some of the pressure of God's ownership off of them, anything that they can change the thermostat and make God bend to their will. Man, they can get excited and move fast. God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, he was riding upon his ass. There's a note my Bible says, it's a hauling ass. Amazing how Christians can get up and go when they think God's giving them an opening for disobedience. Now, he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord. Now, you're going to see, before this is finished, this is a real smart ass. And it starts out hauling ass, now he's a seeing ass. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. You know, it really is something when an ass can see better than you can. When an ass sees things before you see them. When an ass is more spiritual and discerning than you are. The ass saw the angel. Poor Balaam saw the angel. I don't know what Balaam was looking at. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way. And that's a real smart ass. And went out and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass. Smart ass, hauling ass, seeing ass, now we got a smitten ass. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. We can get by this angel with the sword drawn. And everyone that God calls is going to meet the angel of the Lord in a tight spot like that. And when the ass is, you know, I really think this thing is written the wrong way. And the ass is seeing everything. Balaam, he ain't seeing anything. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. On a station break, what a time. Get on telephone, I'll be back. After Balaam in Numbers 22 had fudged on God's orders and took the first opening he had to bend God his way, he rose up in the morning, saddled his ass. Now, as I've said, you're going to see this a real smart ass. Maybe the only spiritual discerning ass the world's ever seen. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. It's really something when a guy's ass can see better than he can see. Ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way. That's why I say it's a smart ass. A lot of you wouldn't be blundering along the way you are if your ass talked to you. That's enough argument to eliminate freeways and automobiles. Start riding asses again. It's a smart ass and see an ass. The ass saw the angel of the Lord. I'm having a hard time getting past this. This ass could see what Balaam couldn't see. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. The angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Hard ass. Crushed his foot. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. And there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass, most amazing ass I've ever seen. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Fallen ass. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. I ain't going to touch that with anything. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Boy, I wish he'd do that again. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" My ass start talking to me like that, I'm in the next county, man. Balaam, he's like it's an everyday experience. His ass talked to him every day, I guess. Then Balaam said unto the ass, "This is the strangest thing I've ever seen." The ass falls down, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "What do you do if your ass asks you a question?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Everyday experience. What's so strange about your ass talking to you? This is a strange conversation." And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me." A mocking ass now. He's a real smart ass. Not only talks, it can count. "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "You're not even impressed. His ass can talk and count." And he just says, and Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me." You ever been mocked by your ass? What's amazing to me is that God's well acquainted with Balaam, comes and sees him quite often, talks to him too. And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee." I tempered. Now we got a reasoning ass. The ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass?" Boy, you're in bad shape when your ass has to ask you, "Am I not thine ass?" Sorry, fate. "Oh, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day?" Talk about Bill Cosby asking his brain-dead kids, "Did you have your head with you all day long?" This is ass asking Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day?" Well, I'm telling you, be surprised what your ass say to you if the Lord opened the mouth of it. Long-standing gripes. Isn't his ass reason? Am not I thine ass? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day. And was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And Balaam still unperturbed. He said, nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. I think it's a pretty good sequence. Mouth of the ass is open before Balaam's eyes are opened. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Notice he ain't apologizing to the ass. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. God prefers an ass to disobedient men. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I've sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. You know, a lot of people make a big deal out of the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. I'm not sure that it can be boxed in that tightly. But I've noticed throughout his book that if you keep persisting with God, he'll adjust the way and let you continue. But you'd been better off if you'd stayed home. Been better off if you listened to your ass. Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto the city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? You know, the world can offer quite a bit to you. Don't ever doubt that when Satan offered the kingdoms, until his day comes, he is the prince of the power of the air, and he can offer a lot to people who are willing to disobey God. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, see where persisting led him? Now he's engaged in heathen sacrifice. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me. Not so sure now. Earlier, he was able to say, the Lord will come. Now he's not so sure. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam. He showed up. And he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he took up his parable, and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Now we're getting to the area of promise, because God's given him words. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and thou shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by my burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say this. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? He took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And you see in these symbols what so often you encounter in the emblems of the British Empire. The young lion, the lion that lifts himself up, the couched lion. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do? And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I'll bring thee into another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. Change the location. Maybe God will change his mind. I'm not done. I'll be back after the station break. You use the station break time to get on the phone, and I'll finish this. Now, there's been a lot of humor mixed into the teaching on Balaam's strange journey. But from this prophet on the border of the people of faith, a near heathen, you don't have to take any more calls, you can sit down and listen. Tried his best to live in that shadowy land of half obedient and half disobedient. But you have to give him credit. On the critical issue, he would not bend. He would not curse the people that God had cursed. And he wouldn't, or rather, he wouldn't curse the people that God had blessed. And he wouldn't bless the people that God had cursed. And his prophecy in the 24th chapter, which follows that 23rd, begins to fit into the stream of prophecies that we've been teaching about the chosen people, the descendants of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, and then the chosen descendants of Joseph and Judah, the scepter to Judah, the birthright to Joseph. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments. He stops the compromise. And Balaam lifted up his eyes. I mean, at least this borderland heathen could learn by what he saw as he continues to see God's refusal to change in his promises to the chosen people. He quit the compromising. He quit the sacrifices to Baal, the meetings with Balak. And he lifted up his eyes, set his face toward the wilderness, and lifted up his eyes. And he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. It's really amazing when you see this stubborn, blind, seeking after himself, not as smart as his ass, dallying with Balak and sacrifices to Baal, but God corners him, and he comes to see the right things, and in spite of his dalliance, the Spirit of God came upon him. You know, we're so judgmental in our fundamentalist age, so prone to decide to whom God can relate and to whom he cannot. We live in clear defiance of God's word. Noah got drunk, but God prophesied through him. Now, that's not an argument for getting drunk, but it's an argument for not putting yourself in the place of God and judging. I'm so tired of this cookie jar, rubber stamp Christianity where everybody has to fit the same mold. You know, sanctified jute suitors. Finely coiffed hair, saying all the proper cliches, touching all the Pavlovian dog spiritual impulses, And if you don't fit that mold, then steer clear. Jesus had people like that in mind when he said, look at the Pharisee. Praying, I think, my God, I'm not like this other man. And the publican smiting his breast and crying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I say to you, that man, God heard, the other one didn't. Very few people that God uses in the Bible would be allowed on the platform of most traditional churches. Noah would have to do penance for 2 years because he got drunk. God knows what else was going on when Ham peeped in. Oh, my God, don't make it worse. God honored what he spoke through Noah. Abraham comes back from his lying, conniving sins in Egypt, and God meets him at the place of the altar, the place of the tent. When he got back on the track where God said, this is the place, and it was then that God said, lift up now thine eyes and look and behold, and as far as you see, I'm going to give it to you and your seed. I've been telling this church and the world now for 16 years. God's ways are not man's ways. God deals with us as individuals, and there is grace abundant. Balaam was a compromiser. But when confronted with the final test, as God so often corners people, he quit the compromising long enough to set his face toward the wilderness and listen to God, and it's without any beating on him about his weaknesses. The Spirit of God came upon him. That simply would not be allowed by the presbyters and episcopates of modern day. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. He hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of vine aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour water out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his kingdom shall be higher than Agag. The symbol of the greatest king that they knew in that day, and his kingdom shall be exalted. And where have his peoples been in many waters? The Spirit of God speaking. I mean, Israel has never been known as a seafaring nation. At least the Israel and Palestine. But for God to be keeping his word, Israel's seed shall be in many waters. Some great nation that's mistress of the seas would fulfill this, and his king shall be higher than the king of the giants. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. When has the Jew ever done that? Huh? Just maybe this is reaching beyond the Jew to the birthright people Israel. He couched. He lay down as a lion. And as a great lion, who shall stir him up? You do well to read the history of heraldry. Why the nation so dominated with evil and antichrist as national forces have adopted the symbols, in most cases, the multi-headed eagle, the vulture, not the eagle as we know it in America. Where is the heraldry of the lion? Concomitantly flowed with a great nation who is also the mistress of the seas. He couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. To you that have numbers in your Bible, you can check if you got a 39 by verse 7 and 40 by verse 9, because I'm not following any particular sequence. This time, I'm moving more historic. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Balak can count about as good as Balaam's ass. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Now that's a very serious statement. And some of you may wonder why it's been so hard for us as we have built solidly but slow. And the onlookers in the traditional religious world who are wonderful at calling people in and building altars to the wrong thing. Their judgment of us is the Lord has kept us from honor. Poor Balaam. Lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Aren't you glad the Lord has kept us back from Balak's honor? And Balaam said to Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sendest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Now, as I've said, Balaam gets bad billing in the history of the church because of his temporary compromise, that he would seek to persuade God, keep pushing his luck, keep moving, hoping God might change his mind, he could get the rewards. And yes, that's an evil thought, but when the chips were down and he couldn't change the mind of the Lord, and truth was what it was, and his eyes were opened, he would not go against what the Lord saith. Didn't I tell you I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. That's the end. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. The reason that you are rallying, we're at 891 now, going toward a million, or going toward 1,000, who will give 1,000. I mean, we've got 109 to go. It is your eyes have been opened. You want the light bearer to reach the world. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. And his eyes leap to the future. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. And out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, the traditional enemies, bleep, the same old bleep, this is what's going to happen. So I guess I can now say this Amalek's going to stop sometime. When he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. That's a lot of bleep. But his latter end shall be that he perish forever. No more bleep. No more bleep. That's what keeps us going. We know we're on the winning side. And God's promises for his people on the earth are woven in. And I'm glad to be denied the honor of Balak and have it as our goal as we take this message to the world. I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. For what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And we're going to keep telling them what the Lord's going to do in the latter days. Come on, get on telephone. Now, the moral of this story is, if a man who's asked could see better, talk better, and had more sense than he did, can turn out that good, there's hopes for all of us. That's the moral of this story. Go on telephone.